And I'm trying, I know that's people say, you know, like a business will say, it's new and improved. I don't think that's God's intention with you. I think God wants to make the things new. When he came into my life and changed my life and I was doing all the things I was doing, and you, some of you know my past, I won't share it because I'm so grateful my mom is in service today. She probably already knows it, but and my in-laws, so that's even worse because they're like, he married my daughter. So I'm grateful for them. They came in this week, stayed with us, and so it's always good to have them. But I'm excited to say that God changed my life, and it wasn't that he improved my old life. He just made things new. He washed away all the old things, and that's kind of what we've been in this series talking about, and it's really is a series to help solve the resolution dilemma, which is that if we took a survey of how many people are completely satisfied in this room, how many people are completely satisfied with every area of their life, we'd probably get very few people to raise their hand and say, I'm satisfied with every area of my life. And because most of us are looking for some kind of change. And we usually do that in one area or multiple areas. And we usually do that at the beginning of the year because it's kind of a catalyst for that opportunity. But the problem is that most of us never see lasting change in the area that we're hoping will change. And if you want to know the truth, resolutions don't really work. And they don't. It's a common... The trend is, and the statistic is, that most resolutions end before Valentine's Day, and we go back to the old nature. Because if you want change, and you want to change something about your life, you have to change from the inside out. It's the way it is for all of us. It's the way you have to get something on the inside, meaning it doesn't... I'll say it like this, it just come to my head. Is it doesn't start with behaviors, it starts with beliefs. Okay, it doesn't start with behavior, it starts with beliefs. And having come out of a church growing up where everything is about behavior, modification behavior, and it never changed anything because the moment I got out of my home, I started doing the things that they were saying don't do. But the moment I changed the attitude and the inside, the spirit man of me, then it was things that I didn't want to do because I know God didn't put that in my DNA. I want to live for him. Meaning, and so it doesn't start with behavior, it starts with belief. And most try to change something in life without changing the spirit part first. And I'll give you the foundational scripture. This is kind of where I took the title from. In the New Living Translation, it says, when someone becomes a Christian, and all of us know this from the, most of us know it from the King James Version, where he says that if there's anyone who be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. But this is, he says, someone becomes a Christian, all right? When you and I became a Christian, we didn't join a church, even though that's a good thing. We didn't get an accountability partner. We didn't turn over a new leaf. He says he becomes a new creation on the inside. There's still stuff that when we became a Christian that still kind of permeated on the outside that we didn't, that we had to work on. Does everybody understand, you know what I'm talking about? He says the old things have gone. And everything is made brand new or new. And I started this in week one with a prescription for spiritual growth. And we wrote in that message the idea, and I put it in forms of question. And I kind of will do that again today on questions that you need to ask yourself. If you need spiritual growth, if it's something you say, I want to grow deeper in Christ, and you need to ask yourself some questions, and just questions you ask yourself. It's actually sort of an inventory that you take of your life. And since you're a spirit being, right, that's really who you are. Your body is not. That's just the arena. That's just what we see as who you are, but the body is. But you're a triune being. So you have a spirit man. You are a the other side of you. You have a soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, and then you have a body that houses all of it. And so, but your spirit man is actually who you really are, and it has the power to affect all the external parts of you. And it's important. Last week I gave you the connection between spirit and body, and we talked about that at length. But because most people, their New Year goals always kind of, I won't say always, but a lot of them center around something to do with healthiness or exercise or diet or even addictions or habits that we want to change, that we want to break. And if you're trying to change your body or your habits without changing your spirit man first, then usually nothing changes. And it's important to understand that, is that it's an inside process. And this week I want to talk about another area of life that oftentimes people will say, well, that's what the church is all about. And I want to teach it a little different today. And I want you to say, I love you, Pastor.
I love you, Pastor.
I want you to remember that when you leave. Okay? Because today I want to talk about an area that affects every person in here. Every one of you are affected by this. I'm affected by this. And that is, I want to talk to you about new finance. A new way of thinking financially. Because every person in here always, everybody. And I think God wants it this way. I've often said God wants you rich. Now you need to understand that in America, you are rich. Okay? The average wage, I think I've given this before, if you search the world, the average wage outside of America is about $2 an hour. Okay, you average out all those countries. And so we have to understand that what we have is we've been blessed as a nation. We have. And you have been blessed as a person. So I don't care what kind of financial shape you're in, right? You have been blessed. You are blessed. But I do believe God wants you to the next level. I think, I'll say it like this, God needs you to that place because I think the reason you are blessed so that you can be a blessing. All right, thank you. I'm getting some feedback today, so it'll be good. But one of the things you need to understand in this thought, I want you to understand this, is that finance or money is not neutral. It's not a neutral thing. It is a spiritual thing. And what you're going to learn today is that either God's spirit is on your money or the world's spirit is on your money. And your money has a spirit on it. It's what spirit is on it. You have to ask that question. Directly impacts what spirit is kind of impacting that is how that's impacting you. And that's what spirit is on you. Matter of fact, we don't need the Bible to prove this, actually. You don't need the Word of God to kind of prove what I'm talking about. World statistics alone tell us that most people's problems center around money, right? So I looked some statistics up. So 98% of all murders happen because of money. The number one reason for divorce in our country? Money. Okay? So we don't need the Bible to tell us that there's a spirit on money. There's something spiritual about money. And if you don't understand it, then it's easy for you to become a victim of it. And it will lead you to where it wants you to go. And can promise, and listen, I can promise you, God has a better plan for your life than money will ever have for your life. It's true. So let me start off in Luke chapter 16, verse 9 says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon." Now let me explain that first part because this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible when it comes to money. He says, use your money. He's actually, if you look this up commentary-wise, and I actually tried to study this out because I've heard some of this before, is that he says that the Bible calls it unrighteous money, money that doesn't have God's spirit on it. He says, if you'll take that in your, because he says that in the hands of righteous people, now God's spirit is on it. Are you with me? He says, if you'll do that, you'll put God's spirit on it, you'll make friends. So that when you fail, and that word fail doesn't mean sin, it just simply means when your body fails, you die. It says when you die, and that's simply that thought, we're going to take our money, this unrighteous mammon, and get God's spirit on it, use it to make friends, so that when we die, then you may receive you, that you may be received into an everlasting home. In other words, there's going to be a day that if you use God's Spirit, or you put God's Spirit on mammon or money, that you're going to have a welcoming party when you get to the gates of heaven. And that party's going to look like this. There are going to be people when you walk in that are going to say, "Hey, I never met you before, but thank you. Because I'm only here because of what you did. That you sent, what you gave, what you did. I was in Honduras, or I was in Africa, or I was in this area. And because of what you did, it impacted my life. And I am changed, and I stand here right now because of you." You're going to have this welcoming party. That's what he's saying. You have this welcoming party. You have this place where you come in. He says, he goes on to say, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money or mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And we'll come back to that. I highlighted that thought. I want to come back to that because I want you to understand what true riches are. "And if you have been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters." Now, that's an important part because Jesus is saying you're either operating in one of two ways. It's nothing neutral. Okay, you got to understand that. There's nothing neutral here. You're either one of two. He goes on to say, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And I highlighted that last word because I want each of you to understand. I want to teach for a few moments, but then I also want to preach for a few moments. So if you like that preaching part, get your amen ready because I got some powerful stuff. And then I want to come back and teach for just a few minutes at the end. I use the King James version of this because it's one of the few that use the word mammon, and most translate that word money or riches. And actually, if you look it up, it is that word, it is that connotation, but it actually is a little different when you look it up. It's actually a proper noun. If you want to think about it, it's the word Mammonus, which was, if you look it up, it's actually a Syrian god that they worshipped that would control the hearts. They prayed would control the hearts of people with their money. And so that through the love of money. So let me say it like that. So controlling the hearts through the love of money. And so Jesus comes along and he says, either my spirit's on your money, or the spirit of Mammonus. And so that Greek word, and he says, either that God's spirit, if you would, is on your money, or God's spirit is on your money. And the spirit of mammon is still alive today, and we can see it happening. It's still destroying people's lives. So this week, I actually sat down on Monday and Tuesday, it popped up on my Bible app, the book of Revelation. If you've never read that book, don't start now until you... If you've never read any other books, don't start with that one. But I sat down on Monday, Tuesday and read the entire book of Revelation. And in there is that many of you know, I kind of believe that we are in the last days. Right? Right? I believe we're in the last days. I saw, just as I said that, everybody's head went like this. Right? So we might as well give an altar call right now because we've got everybody's attention. because we are. I believe it, right? That we're in that place, truth be known. If you study out, a third of all the scripture is actually prophecy. And it's usually prophecy of the return of Christ. And as far as I see it, all of that's being fulfilled daily now. And I've said this before, but this little device right here has allowed us to do things that never in history have we ever been allowed to do. And that is you can carry around a Bible college with you wherever you go in any country. Right? So the Word of God, the Bible says, everybody talks about all the wars and stuff that's going to be coming. I actually believe the Bible says that when the Word of God is spread throughout the world, then the end shall come. So we're seeing that happen now. Where the Word of God, never in history has that been able to be done, except for the last 20 years. And so, to me, we're spreading the gospel faster. 35,000 a month are coming to know Christ just in China alone. So powerful things are happening in our world. And I think sometimes in America, we don't see it, right? Because we kind of get in that place where we got blinders on. But most of it's being fulfilled. And in chapter 13, it talks about the Antichrist, right? The Antichrist is going to take over the world and he's going to take control. And he doesn't do it through nuclear threat. He doesn't do it through all those things like we would think. He's going to, like we have this mentality, he'll do it like that. He actually takes control through the spirit of mammon. He does, through money. And he controls the ability to buy and sell, and he gets people's loyalty, and they're given. He's given control through that loyalty. So you have to, everybody that has studied this, you understand it. You either have to receive a mark in your forehead or on your right hand, the Bible says. And when you go to Walmart, right, you have to go, doop, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's the way it is. I don't know. However you want to, just my imagination. But you scan your head or your hand, and that's how you're going to buy and sell, because he wants that. And people become loyal out of fear. And what it literally does is the idea of spirit of mammon, it wants to take control. It wants to replace God in your life. And it's already trying to do that now. Even before the Antichrist ever sets himself up, it's already trying to do that, especially in our country. And there's this book that's entitled The Day America Told the Truth. And I wrote down some statistics because I think it's very important you see how powerful this is. In it, they did a survey of, I want to say, I can't remember. I was looking up the book and I heard this from somebody else, so I'm actually second-handing this. I haven't read the book, but I looked up the book. I don't remember how many thousands that they interviewed, but here was the question. And the question was, is what would you be willing to do for $10 million? These are people in America. What would you be willing to do for $10 million? So the first thing that caught my eye was 25% would abandon their entire family, right? 25% of those that were surveyed would say, I'd give up my entire family. 23% said, I would become a prostitute for a week or more, right? 16% said, I would give up my American citizenship. Meaning I would no longer be a citizen of America, of the freest country on the planet, the greatest country on the planet. 10% said we would withhold the truth, letting a murderer go free. Actually, I think that stat, I have that a little wrong. I think it said we would withhold the truth to let a murderer or a rapist go free, is how it read in the book. It said 7% said, I would kill a stranger to get $10 million. And the last one I wrote down is 3% would put their own children up for adoption. Right? Some of you are like, But honestly, I got to be sincere today. That's a grieving stat. Let me say, I believe it's the spirit. I actually believe this is the spirit that's operating in our nation. It's operating in our government. It's a situation. It is. Our country is in a situation financially, to me, that doesn't make sense. And the only thing that will solve that is when we change our beliefs as a nation. Because you can't solve this issue with behavioral modification. It's changed when beliefs are changed. It's our spirit, man, that needs revival in this nation. It is. And what Mammon does is what he's done it to me. He's doing it. He's done it to you. And that is that he will come along and say, you know what you need? You really need this. Right? And it's like The Price is Right. It's got the lovely looking lady up there and she's going, and today, and some announcer over here. And he's saying, you need this. It's shiny. It's bright. It's not, right? And we do that. You don't, and what he's all along saying in the back of your mind is that you don't need God. You actually need this. Because if you had this, it would make life better. And the only thing, and I got to give you this is that preach part coming out of me. The only thing that can make your life better is not you buying a new shiny thing. It's that you letting God come into your life and cause everything in you to be shiny itself. Amen. And He will put His love, His appetite. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to put his appetite for those things in your heart, for the inordinate things and in an inordinate way. And when it's there, mammon will make you promises that only God can fulfill. And a lot of believers are on their way to heaven. This has nothing to do with whether you are saved. I want you to understand this. I'm not talking about your salvation today. This isn't a matter of heaven or hell. That was paid for. That was satisfied. And it's just a matter of sometimes we're sifted by the enemy's lives. Even people in this room have kind of made this thought is that, yeah, the spirit of mammon is here because we start believing three things that only God can fulfill. And the first one is he comes along and says, you know what? Mammon will provide you security. It'll provide you security. I think that's the next step. Next thing. Security is one of those things where we come... Everybody's watched the commercial where the commercial says, hey, send us your money and you'll have peace of mind, right? You'll be secure. And what they do is they go downtown and they build a big, huge building that's beautiful, right, with your money. But they invest your money, and I'm not against this, okay? I think it's a great thing. Get your money working for you. But that's the thought is mammon says, you give us your money, you'll have peace of mind, you'll have security. And you'll be secure if you just have enough money, which is a lie. It's a lie. Because I know a lot of people with a lot of money that are insecure in a lot of ways. And so do you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 says this, whoever trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. All I'm saying is that your security is only found in God. It cannot be found in Washington, D.C. It cannot be found in the stock market. It cannot be found in the commercial. It can only be found in the Father. Are you with me? Hebrews 13:5 said, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Don't have to pray, God be with me, because He's already there. All right, and he goes on, he says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I'm not afraid. So when somebody tries to make you afraid, you know what, is your life going to be, are you going to have enough, is this or that? I'm telling you, if you put your trust, your confidence, your security in Him, you don't have to put your security in everything else. It can't offer you security that He can offer. That's all it is. Here's the second one. Mammon promises that only God can give, and that's identity. Right? The lie of you'll be somebody if you just have money. Right? I mean, that's a big one. If you follow the spirit of mammon, if you have, you'll be somebody. So we go out and buy a lot of stuff that we don't have with money that we don't have to impress a lot of people we don't like. And it's true. It's sad to me. Listen, this isn't about heaven or hell. Again, I'm not saying this is about your eternal security. Because you're a believer and you're on your way to heaven, but there's a spirit that may have attached itself to you. And people are addicted to spending, they're addicted to gambling, they're addicted to buying certain things, and it's all because they bought into mammon's promise, of which is really a lie, and that is that if you have this, then you're going to be, you'll keep up with the Joneses. You'll be like them. You'll be like, and I'm telling you that if you have God, He will bless you. There's no doubt about it. And your identity can be found in Him. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, beware, don't be greedy. This is Jesus comes along and says this. Don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much you have. It's not measured by how much you own. It's not your identity, because your identity is only found in the author, the creator, the one who gave you breath in your lungs. That's where your identity is found. How can you get identity from somebody like me? I grew up, right, in a home, and I love my parents. They're great people. I resemble them in a lot of ways. So, but I can tell you, even though I look like them, even though I have a lot of tendencies, right, a little genetically made up, I'm telling you, when God came into my life, my identity came from Him. Because I'm a new creation, all things became brand new. Amen. Are you guys with me? And Psalms 139 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't make junk." You don't make junk. Your works are wonderful. There are a lot of people, even in this room, that don't know that last part. I know that full well. I know that full well. And Mammon comes along and says, I can make you somebody. And many fall for that lie. I can make you somebody. If you just had this, you had that, you buy that, get this, whatever. And I'm telling you, your identity doesn't come from that. Your identity comes from the Father. Third promise he makes that he can't deliver, and that is happiness. I probably don't need to expound on this much. You already know this. Because there's plenty of wealthy people that are miserable. Don't have any happiness. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. You say, well, Pastor, where do I find happiness? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because he says in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty. So let's say it like this. I'd rather be guilt-free than debt-free. I would. And take it from me, I know what it means to be guilty. I know what it means to have fallen. I know what it means to have failed. But I'd rather be guilt-free than debt-free. Now you say, well, what do we do? Because we start the new year with these resolutions that don't work. Remember, I gave you kind of the financial resolution, right? This year, I'm going to pay off my bank loan. And then next year, I'm going to pay off my bank loans. Right? Next year, I'm going to try to be out of the country before the end of the year. Right? And I think a lot of people start that mentality, right? We're going to do this, and doesn't ever work. And we say things like, I just need to make more money, then life will be a lot better. Let me say this, I'm all for that. I really am. I sincerely am. I actually believe that's okay. Matter of fact, some of you need to learn this. It's not so much making more money, it's that learning how to get the money you have to work for you. And some of those that are in that place where you're invested, and you know, there's a lot of truth to that. And so I'm all for that. I'm not arguing that. It's a good thing to have money and get it working in your life. What I am saying is you need to make sure that you have the Spirit of God on your money and not the world spirit on your money. And in the church, you find two extremes most of the time, okay, and I got to deal with this real quick. In the church world, we have two extremes. Again, it's not neutral. One is that money, 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 right? Money cometh. Write that, write down, Jay. Money cometh, money. And we have all of it, and it's the prosperity gospel, and you guys know how I feel about it. I think there's the gospel, period. And in it, it contains prosperity. God wants you to have all that your heart's desire is. God does. Right? And so, and people preach that. Oh, money cometh. And God wants you to have 7 Bentleys and 4 Land Rovers, and He wants you to live in, so you can drive one each day. God's not, I'm just going to tell you, that's a lie. And so, Pastor, God wants. God, I know a minister that brags about how he has warehouses full of stuff, right? Boats and cars and blah, blah, blah. And it's about having things. And I'm just telling you, God doesn't care if you have things. He just doesn't want those things to have you. Amen. And the lie is that God wants me to have those things. Here's what God wants. God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed. Matter of fact, when the Lord is your shepherd, the Bible says your cup overrunneth. He wants you more than blessed. But it's not blessed so that you can have stuff. It's so that you can use it strategically to make a difference while you're on this planet. God does want you to have more than you need so that you can make a difference on the earth for His kingdom. I'll give you a scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says people who want to get rich fall into a lot of temptation. It's a trap. into many foolish and harmful desires and plunge themselves into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith, pierced themselves with so many griefs. And we see that today. So here's the question of the day. How do I get God's Spirit on it? How do you get God's Spirit on it? Meaning, if I want to be, if I want it to be done the right way and have the right blessing in return, how do I get God's Spirit to be on it? And I'm going to give you that. This is some stuff that I really believe God wants you to have. God makes it very simple. He says, I want you to return to me what is mine, and then I'm going to take care of the rest of it. God says everything on this planet. Now, I want you to think about this. I'll put it like this. God owns every... Would you agree with me? God owns everything on the planet. Yes. Everything. There's not anything that He... I'll put it in that term so we can understand. It's simple. Everything you see, God owns. Everything you have, I believe God owns. What He says that, every person on the planet is going to get a part of it. Right? So you have... This company has a part of it. This person has a part of it. Somebody else has a home. Whatever, right? Piece of land. Everybody has a part of it. Every person here has a part of it. Even people who are not Christians have a part of it. That's the way it works. It's God owns everything. He has everything. He created it all. You say, well, yeah, but people kind of come in to create it. God gave people the knowledge to do it. And they're creating out of His resources. So He owns it all. Only thing is, God says, everything on this planet is mine, but I want to give a portion to every person and to show honor back to me. I want you to give first, I want you to return something back. I want you to return something back to me. And that's why, and I'm using the word return, not the word give, because we bring it back to God. It's already His. We're just returning a portion of it. Malachi promises that if you bring the tithe to the storehouse, that He would not only rebuke the devourer on your behalf, but He would also open the windows of heaven and pour out more of a blessing than you can even contain. Now, you don't believe me? Go look it up, Malachi chapter 3. And he goes into that in verse 10. And he says, well, you say, well, Pastor, you're a preacher. That's what churches do. They preach on money. I do not preach on money. I preach the Spirit of God on your money. And some of you live in this level of life because you haven't gotten the Spirit of God. I'm preaching now. I haven't got the Spirit of God on your money. And because you haven't, you've never understood this place that God could take you. You say, well, I've got, you won't believe what I got. What could you have if God got on it? Just a thought. Just don't shout. Oh, Pastor, you're a preacher. And you're in a building fund moment. That's why you're teaching on this. Yes, we are in a building phone moment, but I'll just tell you, we don't need, if you say, well, Pastor, that's my attitude is money. I'm telling you, we don't need it because if God is, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, if God is a part of this, it's going to come to something anyway. Are you with me? Whether you get to be a part of it or not, God's bill, right? God's will, God's bill. And He's a part of this thing. See, I don't want, and let me say this, I'm sincerely saying this. I do not want something from you. I, as a pastor, a shepherd, a good person that wants to shepherd the flock that God put in me as the overseer, I want something for you. Sincerely. I'm never envious when somebody pulls up in a new car. I'm never envious or jealous when somebody makes more. I don't care. I actually am enjoying it. I never get down. I never go, oh, Pastor, God, I don't have that. What's the deal? I never care. I actually want something for you. You say, Pastor, I don't trust you. I get it. Matter of fact, when money was brought up in church in my life, I actually would get angry. I'll tell it myself here. I would. I get angry in church because the money would be brought up and I'm like, yep, that's all they want. It's money, 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 right? Is anybody be like that? Don't tell on yourself today. Right? I was like that. You know why? Because my God was mammon. Because you're messing with my God. You're dealing with something that, right? This is my, only. When I started getting the right attitude, I could tell you the story about this and give you the moment it happened. Because when I got the right attitude about it, everything changed. Everything changed. Then I went, everything is yours already, God. And if you don't, listen, if you don't trust me, I get that. I'll give you this challenge. Go find somebody that doesn't go to church here. Go, not a pastor, and that actually practices the tithe and has practiced it for years. I promise you, they won't say, if you go say, hey, what about this tithe thing? What? Tell me about this tithing. I'm not sure. Isn't that Old Testament? They'll probably tell you something like this. You know what? We're not rich. We're not rich. But I can tell you instance where we didn't have quite, and we gave, we honored God, and we just pushed through it. God rebuked the devourer. And all of a sudden, in a moment where we didn't even expect it, God sent a blessing. And I promise you this, not one of them would tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. Not one of them. I'm not talking about the occasional. I'm talking about somebody who's dedicated to it. Not one of them will tell you, don't do it. Don't trust me. Go find somebody. Go find somebody. I could walk around this room, give a microphone to those I know that have come to me and said, you won't believe what God did. We didn't have this. We didn't have enough money for the electric bill. And we just said, God, we're going to give because God spoke to our heart and we put it Him first. And all of a sudden, not only did we have that, but we had more than that. And because of what we've been, and because of that faithfulness, God's rebuked the devourer off our family. God's rebuked the devourer off my finances. Are you with me? I'm telling you, this is the truth. It's the truth. I promise you. You're not going to find anybody says, oh, it really doesn't work. Let me give you three questions you need to ask yourself real quick. I got 2 minutes back there. It says, the first one is you got to ask yourself, am I returning the first? And I'm not saying giving. I'm saying returning. Because we just establish everything is God's anyway. I think sometimes we have this mentality, oh, I'm giving. And that's what we say in church. It's all right. But are you returning? Are you returning it? Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord. Where's your honor for God? With your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim for over with new wine. Listen, as a church, I'm not preaching to you anything that we don't do ourselves. Everything that you give today, we give a tithe on. Everything. That's why we gave over $60,000 last year to missions. Because your faithfulness to give, God blessed. Are you with me? That's the power of God. And I'm not going to ever say, hey, you do it, we won't do it. I want God to be in whatever we do. So whatever it is, we're going to live on 90% of the budget from last year, this year. It's going to work that way. So he asks us to return the first. And then he says, you keep the other 90% and I'm going to bless that. Now, I want to be careful here. God doesn't bless everyone equally. And neither would you. Neither would you. No, not everyone gets an equal degree. And neither would you. He's blessing people who will manage it well. Right? So God says, let me explain it like this. God says, wow, look over there. He's doing that. Oh, here, I can do more. Oh, over here. Why? What's wrong? Yeah, I can't. And I want to tell you it like this. God ties every promise to His Word. Everything is in His Word. So sometimes people say, I need this. And God's already put it in His Word. He says, here's some mandate to get to that place. And when you say, nope, I'm not going to follow the Word, you handcuff God. It's not that He's going to take anything away. God's a father. Think about it. He's a father. He wants to give good gifts to His children. I think sometimes we think God is this, or this big, powerful, white bearded thing. He's looking for a reason to strike you dead. He's not. He's looking for a reason to bless you. He's looking for a reason. But He tied every reason to His Word. Every promise is in His Word. And so when you operate according to His Word, what He says is, I can pour into your life. When you say, it's a salad bar, I'll pick and choose what I want, and I'll leave this out, I'm telling you, you're robbing yourself. You're not robbing God. He's blessing people who will manage it well. Here's the next question you need to ask yourself. Number two is, am I stewarding the rest? Are you stewarding the rest? Luke chapter 16, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little also can be trusted with much. There's a good principle here. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. I didn't write it. He's writing it. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, that spirit of mammon, right? Who will trust you with true riches? And that's an important part again, true riches. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And listen, it's not a matter of heaven and hell. This is not. That's been settled. But it is a matter of whether you have God's Spirit on your life in this area or not. And then ultimately, we get to the place where He charges us with true riches. And I want to, real quick, I want to deal with that stewarding part. God wants you to steward well. Steward well. I think I've mentioned that throughout this message, is that God intends for you to return back a portion, but He wants you to steward the rest well. Not based on the worldly economic system, but based on a godly system. But I want to deal quickly as I close with this. What is true riches? What is true riches? See, I actually believe that everything you do in life can be impacted with this thought. In life, let's say that you live 100 years on the planet. And in 100 years, you affect 100,000 people. You come in contact with 100,000 people. Out of that 100,000, I don't know if that's a good statistic, but let's just use it. 5% of them return back to you. Let's say that for me, it's I counsel with somebody. Let's say I build friendships with somebody. Let's say that I do something to help somebody or open the door for somebody, and you get into conversation, you start talking to them. I was in Walmart one time and somebody asked me to pray for them because they knew I was a pastor. And right in front of the cookie dough, spiritual moment, I prayed. I laid hands on this person and prayed for them. And you say all of those things, right? And I say that out of all those people you encounter, 5% have the ability one day to come back and bless you, to speak into your life, to do something for you. See, I truly believe relationship is the key. You know what true riches are? It's the only eternal thing on this planet. People. How will God trust you with relationships, influence, leadership? I'm actually preaching a good thought there, and some of you need to recognize it. My goal is to increase that number. Because if it goes from 100,000 to 200,000, I'm throwing out maybe unrealistic numbers. I'm just saying, and now you've got more people that are able to give the encouraging word back to you. Maybe bring a financial blessing back into your life. Are you with me? Relationship. Relationship. True riches. God's looking for someone who gets it, who will leverage their, whatever they have. If you have a house, how about leverage it for a small group? How about if you have a vehicle, just to bless somebody, right? Just to bless somebody. You have a vehicle and somebody's moving, right? It's the single mom, or it's the they don't have a truck, and you leverage your life to help them put their stuff, and you travel across just to be a blessing. What will God do for you? Let's say it like this. Make everything you have count for eternity. Because God likes that. When we focus on people. True riches. I'll give you the last one, I'll close. Is you need to ask yourself, am I focusing on true riches? Is that a focus for me? I've got some great friends sitting in this audience that if I asked them to help me do something, they'd be there in a heartbeat. No doubt. And even if they didn't want to get up and come help me, when they got there, I'd never see that part. You know why? Because I focused on true riches. Because I love them deeply, no matter what. And they know that about me too. They ask me anything, I do it. Because my mind is not set on whether I can do it, whether I can afford it, whether I can go. My mind is set on the need. See a need, meet a need. Love. Love. Most powerful, powerful thing that you can have in your life to see somebody's life change. Jesus said it's okay to have stuff, but not to make the priority of storing things up on this planet, but rather stir up true riches, lives in heaven, where nothing can destroy, nothing can steal. Because when you store up treasures there, this is what he says, that's where your heart's at. Remember I told you a while ago that I would get angry? Because that's where my heart was at. It was all my stuff, what I had. The moment I put my heart on true riches, and then everything I would say, every time somebody would ask me, can I borrow this? I'd say, what's mine is thine. Because that's what I said to the Lord. What's mine is thine. Because that's what he said to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Help us to have a new mindset towards this. Let us not be offended. Because we believe we got to teach the full counsel of God. So that we would be, the Bible says, not lacking anything, God, but spiritually mature, grown up, having a faith to follow. Help us, God, to see it, to recognize. I know sometimes this is one of those tough, it's a hard message for me to preach. And we do it so well at Harvest Church. But I want something for every person sitting here, whether they're a guest here today, or whether they've been in our church for a long time and just this is a part of their life where it's like, it's hard. It's hard. But Lord, help us to remember that if we return back to you, what is yours? Just the portion you ask. You have the ability. It's like being in covenant with somebody who owns everything and we have nothing. And the moment we say, God, I'm going to return this back, that's the moment that your promise is unleashed and opened up to have an effect, a direct effect on our life. And then you trust us with true riches, people, lives. Help us to understand that. Help us to get that in our hearts today. Help us take another step of faith closer to the blessing. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for one second, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need that change in my life, a salvation change in my life. Maybe a rededication. Maybe where you're at right now is distant from God. You say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. Actually, Jesus made this the easiest place. Easiest thing to do in becoming a Christian. He didn't want this to be done by work or be seen. He just wanted you to have a personal relationship with him. But he says it's going to take your faith. So here's an act of faith right here. You say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I just want to pray for you. If you'll slip your hand up, put it right back down. I'll actually help you with the words to pray where God will make things right in your life. If you'll meet it in your heart, it'll be something radically changed in you. You say, Pastor, that's me. Will you pray for me? Anybody in this room before we close? Thank you, Father, for every life here today. If we're distant from you, Lord, draw us closer to you. If we're far from you, God, Father, show us. Wave at us, God. Call our name. Let us turn around and look at you and see the glory of the Lord. And Father, let us begin to walk back towards the one who gave us life. Father, today we commit to you everything, everything. We leverage everything for true riches. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you get the word today? Did you enjoy the word today?